Open your Bibles once again to, you know what? I'm actually have to think this. Oh, your cards? Yeah. Because we're actually, I don't know if anyone needs cards. What I did last week is I just gave some cards out so you can keep track. You got some of the top 10 of if you are from a dysfunctional family. Does anyone want a card? Irma would like a card? Oh, card. And I will go through it one more time just so we can see where we were. We left at the fourth one. There we go. We looked at several parts of signs that you were raised in a dysfunctional family. And of course, we're in Genesis right now looking at a dysfunctional family, which is Isaac, Rebekah, and their two sons. And this goes back all the way to Genesis and the curse. And we're going to take a look at that a little bit more and how that applies. But we have to keep in mind that this is all a progression, and we see this in our lives as well. So the first one was, you are a people pleaser. I think most of us can relate to that. We put other people first before ourselves, but not in a godly way. We go to the extreme where it causes us harm. Someone may want us to go drink, to do something else, and we find ourselves in a place we shouldn't. Two was, you are a type A personality. And I already explained that's who I am. You're a perfectionist. Everything must go right. You're a little stressed out. Your life is just always in a nut like this. And that's also a sign that you've come from a dysfunctional family, because it's to the extreme. There is no perfection here other than the Holy Spirit who is with us. And he'll lead us where he wants us to go. Three was, you are constantly guilty. And we talked about that as well. We're guilty for what other people do, even if we have no part to play in it. We may think in our minds, oh man, it's my fault, because they may be relatives or friends, whether we did or didn't do something. And remember that you have the enemy, who is the accuser as well, going before the throne and whispering in our ears as well. Four was, you lack communication skills. I'm pretty sure that everyone on this planet lacks communication skills, because if we didn't, we wouldn't see none of that in the Bible, and we wouldn't see it in our lives with our family, friends. You see it everywhere, and it's just part of the reality of the fall. That is one that we continue to work on, especially when you're thinking about counseling, and the Bible is the number one counseling book. And wait, we didn't get to five, did we? No, we didn't. We were. Okay, so we're going to get to five right now, I guess. Let me get to it. All right. So five is responsible towards others. You feel responsible towards others. And this is similar to three. You are constantly guilty. So when others make their own decisions and you are not accountable for them, you still feel a sense of responsibility. Does that ring true? For what has happened, especially when the situation is bad. So when others make their own decisions, you are not accountable for them, and you still feel bad. Do you ever see someone who's in line, or they're making a bad decision? They're going to order like a number two instead of a number one, and you know they're not going to like that. Do you feel guilty or responsible, like you should have said something? Well, that's a tough one, because there are times you should feel that way, responsible. But not to the extreme. Now, I told you I felt responsible for my friend who died, and I never told him about Christ. But I had another friend who died from alcoholism, but I did tell him about the Lord. And you remember things like that. It helps you not to feel responsible when you do your part, but you don't want to go too far. Now, where does this apply in the Bible? Because remember, we're looking at what true psychology is in the Bible and how it helps us and how Christ helps us. So, Part 5 says, now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his people. Now see, God is telling Samuel here, how long are you continue to feel guilty or responsible for what Saul did? Stop it. It's done. You did what you can. It's not your fault. He chose what he wanted to choose. And we have to remember, this is God saying this to Samuel. Because he was mourning, he was continuing to go on. And anyone who he looked at Saul as his son. And he tried to tell him right. He tried to show him what was right and wrong. He went to him before. But he was the messenger. But he still felt responsible. And these are real people in the Bible who feel what we feel. But God is telling them, you got to stop mourning or stop feeling responsible for Saul. He made his own decisions. Now, this is to the extreme. But God would tell us enough is enough. Because if you don't, you stop from growing. This is God's counsel. If God says it, we should do it because it's for our own good. And he says, don't worry about it. There is someone else. So that implies that Samuel was always thinking of, well, maybe I did something wrong. But you told me to go to him. And all these thoughts could come up when we're thinking about the Lord, if he speaks to us and we do or don't do something. It sticks with you because you'll always have the enemy. But the scripture says, now the Lord said to Samuel, enough is enough. You've got to get over it, move on. You're not responsible for his decisions. So you shouldn't continue to mourn or feel this guilt in you. And that's, we have to all do that when we grow up. Even our kids, our friends, whoever it is, we have to one day let go because it will destroy us. It hinders our growth. And then it affects us in ways we don't even know. How many of us truly know ourselves? How do we get to know ourselves? How? Think about it. The Bible. But when we read it, sometimes we can just pass by so many parts of the Bible and not realize everything in there is healing and supposed to be transforming us. That's the whole purpose. You are a new creature in Christ. In other words, you're transforming. All things have passed away. What things? Well, you know, you're no longer under bondage, under sin. Now you need to learn what it means to be set free in here as well. And the old man to continue to die. So God is the one who continues to counsel us more than anyone else. And this is what he's saying to Samuel, who was before the Lord. Everyone has issues, even Samuel. And God came and said, enough. And it's good to know that we are in good company when you read the Bible. We're no different, they're no different. They can be like us, we can be like them. So, 6. You are hard on yourself. No matter what you do or achieve, and think about this, this is also a perfectionist, you are the hardest critic. And you're always criticizing yourself first. You think that anything going wrong is your fault in some way. And you're harder on yourself for that. And how is that? When you do something wrong or someone else does something wrong, what do you call yourself? We all have names. Stupid jerk. Oh, I'm such a dummy. I'm such scum. What is wrong with me? When will I ever learn? I knew I could never do this. I knew I could never be this. I should have known better. What's wrong with me? Why do I keep trying? Again, never try, never fail. It goes back to that. But are you hard on yourself? Ask yourself the question. Can you be hard on yourself? I think everyone has said some words to themselves at one time or another. And maybe you still struggle with that. Maybe you're hard on yourself for something once again you should have did or did do. And the enemy comes and reminds you of that. Or you see some old traits of you. And you call yourself these names. Or you really try to get something or do something and it just doesn't seem to work out. Remember the enemy. You always have to remember that. So, what would the Lord tell us when we are hard on ourselves and we call ourselves names? Like stupid, idiot, jerk, dummy, moron. Whatever name you think of that you called yourself, what would the Lord tell us? If I got this right. All right, there it is. And what does he say? And I heard a voice saying to me, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven. What God has cleansed, you shall not call common or unclean, some translation says. So understand what he's telling Peter right here. Peter had a vision. Here comes a blanket. All these creatures that are unclean. And God's trying to explain something to him. I'm going to send you to Gentiles. I've already cleansed them. We already know that because they received the Holy Spirit before they were baptized. And God already said, I hear them. You need to go tell them about me. Peter says, no. They're dirty people. But God says, don't say that. We do the same thing when Christ sets us free and the Holy Spirit is in us. When we say that, we're not insulting ourselves. We're insulting the Spirit of God and Christ in us. And I've done this so many times in my life. And how do I know this? Because the Lord has told me many times, stop insulting what I have cleansed. Stop insulting me. And we don't think about it like that when we call ourselves names. Of course, we know when we call other people's names, James tells us that they're made in the image of God. You shouldn't do that. But aren't we made in the image of God? So when we put ourselves down and we're hard on ourselves, God's counsel will be the same thing he said to Peter. Don't say that about yourself because I cleansed you, and you're actually sinning when you say that. And you don't think about that because you're saying, Lord, your blood on the cross wasn't good enough to stop me from being stupid or a jerk or a scum or dumb. I can't ever change. And it may seem that way, but that's not true. Remember, we're being transformed day by day if we listen to the Lord. So that's what we do. And here again, the great counselor says, don't say that. Why? Because you're saying that basically to me. And there's answers when God says it. Okay, I get it. That's true. And of course, Peter went and he saw and he was like, I guess I really don't know. I don't understand you two right now, God, because I'm young. I guess you can do anything and more than I think, and I really don't understand myself. So this is all in the scripture right now in Acts 2 that we're thinking about. So he didn't. And that's really important to think. The next time a thought comes to your brain, whether it's you or the enemy, you have to say, nope, I am cleansed, I am clean. I was listening to, I wish I could remember his name, and I can't give him the credit for this, but he was telling a story on 90.1 on the Christian Broadcasting Network, and I just happened to hear it. He was telling a story about something he was going through, and gosh, he's a big pastor in Texas. He comes on 90... Who? No, not Chuck Swindoll. No, not Charles Stanley. He's a big pastor, and he has an accent, obviously, because he's from Texas, but when I get his name, I'll say it next week. Robert so, Jeffrey. What's that? Is he the one with this tannin? Yeah. No, it's the other guy. You're getting close. Anyway, no, it's not McGee. Anyway, I'll try to figure it out next week. But he was telling the story about something that was going on in his life, and he felt rotten and dirty. So a high school friend called his secretary and said, "This is Joe, and I was his best friend in high school. I don't want to bother him, but all I want to say is God has a word for him." So he gets many of people saying his friends, but he knew this guy and he met with him. And when he met with him, he said, "Well, I just want to tell you that God wanted me to tell you that the sins that you committed before you came to Christ, those same sins are still covered under the blood in Christ. So don't feel bad. Don't be hard on yourself. God has forgiven you before and now when you do something wrong." And we have the tendency that when we do something wrong, we wait a couple days or whatever the case may be, depending on how your upbringing was and how dysfunctional your family was in your family dynamics. You can wait, and then later on you're going to go to the father, "I'm sorry," and little by little you feel a little bit better, and then it's okay, because that was me. And that's the thing I still have to remember not to do when I do wrong. Thankfully now, the Lord's like, remember, tell myself, I'm not going to wait, I do it now. And he reminds me of that because we all sin. We're all going to make mistakes. And being hard on yourself comes from somewhere. Remember, your past affects your present and your future. And the Lord is dealing with all of this, even with Peter, when you're thinking about it, because he's bringing up an issue he had so he can be aware of it. The beginning of healing is being aware of a problem. The beginning of change comes from God pointing it out. You read the rest of the book of Acts, you know, as time goes on, you read his letter, he's matured. So, what was this? You're hard on yourself. And if you criticize yourself too much, or you continue to, then there's things you haven't dealt with, or you haven't allowed the Lord to deal with. And there's certain insecurities in that. Let me not pass it. 7. You have supreme levels of anxiety. Open your Bibles. We're going to read Matthew 6 on this one because it's a little bit too much for me to put up there when it comes to Scripture. Matthew 6, verse 25. That's pretty easy. Go to the New Testament. Voila. Matthew 6, verse 25. This is going to be a Scripture that we all know. But how much do we know it? And remember, the Bible is living. There are many aspects to what you read. We are looking at it from a relational aspect in the family, the breakdown of the family, because we are in Genesis, and it helps us better understand Isaac, the wife, the kids, and ourselves. We're no different. We're the same. So Matthew 6, starting at 25. Therefore, I say to you, oh, wait, you got it? Okay. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Well, clearly, you know, the chapters before that, God was talking about the same issue. Why do you guys do all this? He says, therefore, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Is it, guys? I mean, Jesus is asking us that right now. Is it? Is your life worth more than food? Is your body worth more? Is the health of your body worth more than the food you put into it? Because sometimes the food you put in isn't even good for you. We'll forget about Wednesday nights. You know, that's once a week. So we're not going to talk about that, okay? There's some nutrients in there somewhere. But is it? What would you say to that? Is your body more than clothes? And I'm sorry, is your life more than clothes and your body more than food? But you need clothes, right? Jesus, what are you talking about? I need clothes. The fall. You're the one who, remember, you made some clothes for us out of the sacrifice you did? What are you talking about, Lord? Well, he's trying to explain something to us. He's trying to get us to think because he's asking us a question, right? What happens when you worry? What comes up first? Your emotions. So he says, look at the birds of the air. Stop for a while and look. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Are you? Do you think that? Are you of more value than Mother Teresa was? No? I thought there was, yeah, I thought I, more, same value? Okay, same, that's good. Is anyone more valuable than you in your mind? How about rich people? Don't make me get into my past. If I was to do my testimony, we'd be here for days. But the question is, well, your children are more valuable, but in Christ, there is no Greek, Jew, Gentile, free, or slave. We're all equal, right? So are our children more valuable than we? We're all the same. We are all the same, aren't we? But yet we hesitate. Why is that? What happened to us in our past that makes us hesitate? Society. We're all the same. I mean, isn't that what Jesus is saying? He's making us think. Look at what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about a bird in the air. Are you more valuable than that? Yeah. Well, what about this? Yeah. When does it stop? What value do you place upon yourself? And is it contrary to the value that Jesus subscribes to you? Then again, it's sin. Once again, if God says this is what you are, you're the head, not the tail. No. I can't because I'm just rotten. Stop saying that. My spirit's in you. Ugh. See, that takes time. That's why the Lord is loving and slow. And he hugs us and he loves us and he tells us when we say that, he's like, no, I love you. You're wonderful. He'll squeeze us. He'll tickle us. However you want to say what you do to your children, that's what he does and even more. So he says that. Did your family discourage or encourage you? Were you uplifted or put down? Praised or cursed? Maybe that has something to do with it. Why you can't see yourself more valuable than birds or your neighbor or someone who's considered better than you, but you don't know their lives. And Jesus goes on to say, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If you worry, can you grow? If you worry, can you other places, you know, keep your hair? All it did was make me lose my hair even more. If anything, it lost, right? Worrying is actually does the opposite. When it releases cortisol, you lose health, you lose strength, you lose sleep. You lose all around. There's no endorphins in there. It's all the bad one. So Christ is telling us, by worrying, can you add a cubit to your stature? Can you grow? Can you change? You can't. So why do you worry about clothing? But I need clothing. I don't understand what you're saying, Lord. All right, let's fix it. So he's leading us through this for we can better understand ourselves. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Now, what is he saying right here? Think, don't feel. Try to control and understand your emotions. Remember he said that to Cain. He's saying, consider. All right, you're nervous. Your emotions are going all over the place. That's the purpose for us to remember scriptures and Bible. And our mind's supposed to be transformed. So Jesus is saying, consider. He's telling us right now, think. Okay, well, let's put our thinking caps on. We're going to stop feeling. Now, I could scream right now and release adrenaline in you, and you're going to start feeling something. I can all call you bad names here. Because I think you're all bad. How do you feel right now? Did that bother you just a little bit, maybe? All right, stop trying to get me. Stop feeling. Let's consider. Put that to the side and think, why would I say that? Jesus is saying, why would you feel this? Consider the lilies of the field. How do they grow? They neither toil nor spin. Well, that's true, Jesus. If I really think about it, if you made all these things, they don't do anything to get what they need. The sun, you bring rain, and they don't even pray or ask or worry. But they're different. I mean, they didn't sin against you, although they're under a curse too. The whole world is mourning. So, but why do I still worry, Jesus? Now, this is what we're considering with him. Okay? And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. All right, so now you're telling me that even Solomon had everything, but he still wasn't as beautiful. I don't understand that. Here's a little plant. I'm not a plant. I'm made in your image, Jesus. Isn't that what you said? But no, I can't be because I'm just too bad. What are you telling me? So what is he saying? All right. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? I don't know. Why do you have such little faith? How come you just can't believe it? How come you came to me and said, I trust in you for salvation? Why won't you trust me the rest of the journey? I don't understand. But you just don't understand what happened to me in my life. I don't even understand. I know, that's why I'm here. I'm here to help you out. To help you be the best person you are in me. That is the purpose of you coming to the knowledge of me. Why did you accept me in the first place? Jesus would say. What would we say? Well, I don't know. I felt emotion or it was cool or my church made me, my parents made me. Or it finally came to you and you realized I do need you, Jesus. I need to change. And we've all experienced some transformation in our lives, right? But realistically, humans are generally lazy and we stop. Sometimes we get what we want and we stop. And we don't continue to let Christ transform us and heal us from what our family have done to us, what their family did to them. And it happens, and Jesus says that. Why do you have little faith? I don't know why. Well, part of it is we don't know ourselves or the power of Christ fully as Christians, and something hinders our growth. 31. Therefore, in other words, he says you have little faith, but don't worry about that. I'm going to help you in your faith. Therefore, do not worry, because God will take care of you, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Americans seek. Oh, our society seeks, right? Society tells you to go and do and be, and it's easy. And the next thing you know, go to your house, you have multiples of whatever. And it's so easy. Remember what I told you, your society affects you, even your Christian walk. You have to be aware of that. It can be hindering to you. The Gentiles seek after these things that don't matter, and they cause a lot of worry. Isn't that true? The more you have, the more you stress. I just talked about Johnny Depp. He has millions. Everyone loves him. And he's a flaming alcoholic and drug addict. Now he's doing better, but you see the videos they played up there. Why would you be like this? You have everything. Clearly, he doesn't. He has nothing. What good is it if you gain the world but lose your soul? And that's what you see in these people that we can forget. But yet we want to be part of them because our flesh says that. And Jesus is saying it only brings you worries. The more you have, the more you worry, and it's true. So he says, the Americans seek after this. Gentiles, if you're watching online. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Now keep in mind, Jesus is saying, listen, I know your problems. I know what you think of yourself. I can help you, but I'm going to give you what you need, not what you want, because what you want is bad for you and the society has messed you up. Your Father knows you need these things. Why are you worrying? Didn't I just go through these things? What is going on? Right? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added on to you. Well, what do you mean, seek you first? Well, me, what I want for you, hearts together, let me transform you. All these other things you won't even care about because you'll be walking with me. You'll be transformed. You'll be getting rid of that pain, that low self-esteem, that anger, that rejection from your past. All that stuff will go away if you seek me first, because until then you can't be healed if you're not following me. And we have a tendency to do that. And I'm not going to be up here saying that I do that. Again, just because I bring this and I'm reading this and God shows me that doesn't mean it's not for me. Of course it's for me. Because you guys don't fully know my life. And if you want to know, $5 to my wife will get you a little insight on chapter 1, 2. No? That's a low, low price for your... Today only. But seriously, we're all the same. You can come up here and do this as well. You say, God, reveal your word to me. You go back and forth and you can do it. Are you going to trust or are you not going to trust? Is this what you want? Is this what you don't want, Lord? I don't know. But he says that, seek the kingdom of heaven first and his righteousness. You must seek me and seek what is right. Well, what is right, Lord? What I tell you to do. How I want you to be, how I want you to think and feel. That's not easy, I know. That's why I say, follow me. And I'll walk you through it. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Even though you're going to go through certain things, it's for your good. I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable. Listen, American, stop saying that word. How am I going to change you and transform your mind? And that's the thing. We got to get out of the comfort zone. Because when you're thinking about counseling, it hurts. Because you have to face yourself. You have to face the person you may be with. You have to face what the counselor may say. And more than anything, you have to face the word of God. Are you going to do it or not? I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to deal with this. Now, the number one issue is, here it is. Here's your application. Here's your tools. Go do it. I don't want to. For whatever reason. But the things that you face make you stronger. And when God broke me to remake me, it wasn't good. But afterward, it was great. Because you realize, I'll take it. And it changes you. And of course, you can still go like this. But you got to keep pressing on for the prize, like Paul said. I press through. What does that imply? Is it easy pressing through? It's a struggle. It's difficult. But you have to move forward. kingdom of heaven is righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own worries. Well, thank you, Jesus. It may be easy for you, but not for me, because I am not Jesus. And of course, he also shows us how he was in the garden. But the point is, if we do it by ourselves, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You have to try if you really want to grow and change. And you look at a lot of churches, we're not perfect. A lot of churches are not perfect, but we're supposed to be mature. And I know in myself, I'm sick of going through the same struggles. How long do I have to be in the desert until I get to the promised land, Lord? Seek me first. How long, Lord, seek me first? And I'll ask, how long, Lord, let me heal you? Lord, come on. You know, like when we pray for Anthony, and that could be frustrating. How long, Lord? His family could be like, we can be like, I've prayed for a lot of people. Why, Lord? But we keep going because we don't know what he's trying to show us. We don't know. And we pray and we fast and we do. Until one day we see something and we see transformation. And sometimes you don't even realize it. Someone else points it out to us. And that's even more of a blessing. But keep going on. Don't worry. Okay, thank you, Jesus. I got the prescription. Are you going to go now and take it to the drugstore and fill the prescription? Which means, are you going to continue with me and continue to ponder what the Bible says? Are you going to chew on the word of God? Or is it once in a while? Is it Sunday, Wednesday, and every time you may turn on the radio? Do you spend time with God saying, why, Lord? What does your word say? If there's a question here, let's dialogue. And knowing yourself and saying to Jesus, help me to understand this. So, I think we're going to get through it. 7. 8. You feel isolated and empty. I think I got a scripture for this one. Oops, don't look at the scripture. Let me stop that. It's not ready. There we go, I stopped it. 8. You feel isolated and empty. As a result of constant isolation, lack of emotional support as a child, you feel unfulfilled and empty. You constantly seek affection and you are afraid to be alone. So do you feel isolated in your life where you abused as a child? Some people were. Do you want to go away from people? There's a lot of people who make the mistake to have opposite sex friends as a Christian. Now, you have to ask yourself the question. Now, I'm not talking about an extreme difference in age. A person generally don't know themselves. And because we don't, or we choose not to listen to ourselves, we can go to someone and say, oh, I really like this person. But what's behind it? You can be in danger if you're not mature, if you spend too much time. How do relationships build? By spending a lot of time, and then you can fall into sin. It's happened many a times in churches and with pastors. It has. And a pastor, never be alone with an attractive woman. Or even sometimes a woman he thinks not, because the enemy may try something to try, who knows. But you're talking about a friend. And what does it say? You seek affection. A lot of people who are single, they may not be able to find a Christian man or woman, or they think they do, and then they start friendships. Next thing you know, they've fallen into fornication. But yet they don't listen to the advice and say, you can't. If you've done it once, you'll do it again, because you're not mature or strong enough and you haven't done boundaries and you haven't dealt with the underlying issues of your family. Why are you like this? Why do you tend to have more friends that are the opposite sex? And a lot of do. Even on the phone, we may talk to the opposite sex more or want to be a part of it because it's filling in something inside of us that we're lacking, right? But you constantly seek affection and you're afraid to be alone. And you have to ask Jesus, why is it like that? Why am I like that? And I think I got a scripture for this. I think I put it up there. But why? Are you like that? Has there been times when you were like that? And can you trace it to a pain, a hurt, before a Christian or even now? What would God say? Let me make sure I got this right. So you feel isolated and empty. And he says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Now, when you feel isolated and empty, you can waver. I need affection. I'm afraid to be alone. I may not want to be alone. And we put too much in relationship. But there it is again. Seek the kingdom of heaven first, right? Let us hold fast to our confession of hope without wavering. Well, what was our confession? Jesus, okay, you know, like a sinner's prayer, whatever you want to call it. Lord, I do believe that you can change me. I do believe you'll give me the best. I do believe that you will transform me to your image. Whatever you want in my life, you'll do, whether it's this, that, or whatever. Well, hold on to that. Hold fast. Don't give up. Or are you extremely doing it and you find yourself somewhere else up here and not with the Lord again? And you're still worrying about issues when you shouldn't, because you're seeking what? Affection. Or you don't want to be alone. Well, what does he say? Hold without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly, you know the scripture, of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Does it not seem that the day approaching of Christ is here? Think about that. In Matthew 28:20, he says, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. But yet at times we do need someone. And we have to ask why. We have the Holy Spirit and we have the body of Christ. Right? And this isn't talking about maybe someone wants to get married. That's the only other relationship you have. Maybe someone wants their family member who they haven't seen. Well, who is your father, mother, sister, brother, and uncle? Those in the body, right? Why do we need the body? Well, if you feel isolated and empty and your affections are leading you in a bad place and you're afraid to be alone because you hear voices, or maybe you're afraid you're going to hurt yourself and you don't know where to turn or talk to, what is the body supposed to do? Nourish each other, help each other, bring each other up, right? Our family are all messed up here one way or the other, some more, some less. And when you become a Christian and your family isn't, you no longer have a family. You need to be a part of the body. And this COVID does such a great job of causing people to stay home and never coming back to church because they worry and have fear. What's the next disease? What's that? Well, do you trust God or you trust the media and TV? Who is the true God? Where is your faith? God's life, he holds our lives in his hands and he will do what he wants with us. He says do or don't do. But are we hearing his voice? And we hear that by following him. So we have to keep the hope without wavering. When we feel by ourselves and empty, and we have to ask why, Lord, what did I not get from my dysfunctional family maybe? What is it that I'm really craving and what I want? And again, what you want isn't what God wants you to have. But again, it goes back to seek the kingdom of heaven first and everything else will be added on to you. Everything. He will give you the desires of your heart. And what are your desires of your heart? Well, when you seek Christ first, the desires are his desires and whatever he has for you. So you feel isolated and empty. And a lot of times it's because people don't come back to the body and the church. And I've said this before, I never wanted to go to church. I always said, I'm good at home. Me and God have a great relationship. I'm an introvert. Even though I seem like an extrovert, we're good. But God was like, no, you're not. Good, look at you. And then he led me on the path here and there. And then that's when I put Samuel, when we had the CKC here, because I used him because I didn't want to come to church. But he would force me because he had to go to the kids club here. So he can get his badge, you can get his stuff. And he said, we got to go. And I'm like, oh, this is why I did it. I wasn't strong, so I used him. And that was a good thing. We lean on each other for strength, for hope, to talk, help me, accountability, all the stuff we need, because it says right here, if we need affection, we talk and say, what's going on? If we're afraid to be alone, you're never alone in the body of Christ. At least you shouldn't be. And even if you are, is Jesus there? Do you know he's there? But there's still that feeling in the flesh that wants to be with someone. Remember, we're in a fallen state. Everything is twisted and messed up. But if you feel that way, you have to trace it and ask the Lord. That's the best time. Number 9. Oh, wait. I think I made a mistake. Is that right? Number 9. Don't look at that. You're frustrated. No matter how good things are in your life, you can always pinpoint something that is wrong, and you are dissatisfied. You feel like your efforts go unappreciated all the time. So your life is good. Nothing's really going wrong, but you can pinpoint a wrong somewhere. In essence, you're a half-empty person. Life is good. We're really blessed because Jesus just said food, clothing, and shelter is in that. You should be happy. Don't worry, right? But why are we a negative? Nancy's the only one I know. I don't know what the male version is. What is it? Negative Ned. You're a negative Ned or a negative Nancy. Why are you always so negative when God has given you all the riches in Christ Jesus? If you've ever been that way throughout your day. And of course, if you're a type A personality like me, you're gonna find it and you have to fight that. You have a tendency to look at what you don't have or the negative in the world instead of all the beautiful blessings in Christ. A flower, this, that, whatever. Your family. Maybe some family you don't have and it could be a blessing. Maybe the friends that you thought were friends and no longer in your life. So if you're from a dysfunctional family, you will see negative. And if something bad has happened to you, if you've been put down, you're going to see negative. And I can put my hand to every one of these. Everyone is me. So, but the Lord will tell us, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and God and the God of peace will be with you. I can't get out of this, like Tim says, thinking, and it just, nothing goes right. But wait a second, everything's okay. The end of the world is going to come. I feel like something's going to happen to me if I step out of the door. Something's going to happen to my family. Why can't I get everything right again? Well, wait a second. What are you dwelling on? What has been done to you to think that way? And God would say, let's go through this together. Let's think about positive things. Well, why? Because it says the peace of God will be with you. Now, it's easy to see these scriptures and for me to say it up here. I will never tell you it's easy. We can say it. We can say, yes, I believe it. Praise Jesus, I feel great. And then when you step out or you go home, you don't feel that. But remember, that's part of the sanctification and following God. You practice, the Bible says, righteousness. What does it mean to practice? Sometimes you're not always going to do enough reps. And I can't. One day you're a little weaker, but as you continue, you gain strength. You have to practice what the Lord is giving us. He's the counselor. I'm so frustrated all the time. Well, what are you thinking of? I'm irritated and bad. Why? Why do you feel that inside of you? Well, my family or someone did this to me. If you came to know it, well, okay, all that's past now. You got to learn to forgive. Remember, when you forgive, it's a lot of times for us because you can harbor bitterness and it changes who we are. But if you're a type A personality, it's a little bit more difficult, right? So you got to remember to focus on these things. You have to try. You have to practice it. It's not easy. You start off by, if you tell yourself bad things, no. You start little by little. So finally, we have 10. Whoops. 10. You feel anguish. I want you to open your Bibles to Psalm 43. Psalm 43. You feel anguish. A feeling of hopelessness and anguish exist in your everyday life despite no dire circumstances. That's the extreme, right? You feel hopelessness. You get depressed. There's anxiety in you and nothing's going on. And you have negative thoughts and look at life from a half glass filled pessimistic viewpoint. Now, also understand that there's a lot of people who suffer from depression and it's a chemical imbalance. And my wife always tells me that I have that problem. Maybe she shouldn't have got that counseling degree. I don't know. But it's true. God can say, I will deliver you from your past by healing you so you can forgive others. I tell people sometimes to write down letters to people who are alive or not alive because you need a closure. And you talk to God about it, and it can heal a person. But sometimes you need chemicals because we're in a fallen state. And God will say, I'll take this. Now, God could heal us. I don't know. You can take a chemical, and then it could go away. But each individual, it depends on how far you're going to go. Lord, I trust you. I don't trust you. Who knows? And God could heal you. But there are people who have a lot of issues internally and mentally. We're broken. We know that if you take drugs, even if you smoke, your child will come out deformed or he will have a slower development. And it happens. Now, that's not God's intent, but that happens. And we also have to remember that God wants to deliver us from this. We know that. We're being transformed by our minds. Also, the Lord can lead you to say, you need this medication. Okay, Psalm 43. Declare. And I'm reading this from the NLT. I got what I got up here. It's not, but I'm going to read it from the NLT. You can follow it from the King James, New King James Bible. I'm doing it because it's a little bit more of today's language. So here it says, declare me innocent, O God. Defend me against those ungodly people. Rescue me from these unjust liars. For you are God, my only safe haven. Why have you tossed me aside? And it can feel that at times, even when you get into depression or you have this thought process. Why have you tossed me aside? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Send out your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them lead me to your holy mountain, to the place where you live. There I will go to the altar of God, to God, the source of all my joy. I will praise you with my harp, O God, my God. Lord, why is this happening to me? Why am I feeling so hopeless? Where are you? You've abandoned me. If you only take me to the place that I was before when we first met, remember the love affair we had? Why am I feeling this way? Where are you, God? I don't know what's going on. I need you. And once I'm there, I will praise you because you are wonderful. Bring me there, lead me, but I don't see it right now. And look what he says. He comes to his senses and he's starting to ponder. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. What did I just say here, Lord? You are light. I know I'm depressed, but I remembered as I'm saying this, that you are going to lead me because that's what you promised. You're going to take me out of this. But I have to follow you. So why am I discouraged right now when you gave me frame of references? You showed me your goodness because you did save me. Isn't that good enough? Why is my heart so sad? What is wrong with me, Lord? You know what? I'm going to hope that one day you're going to change this. Because if you say you'll never leave me or forsake me and you only want good for me, then I'm going to believe your word and not my feelings. Because it's not my feelings that matter, because your word says the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. I can't trust what I feel. Whether it's a chemical imbalance or something in my past that you want to deal with, you're going to fix it as long as I follow you. So I shouldn't be downcast. I shouldn't be discouraged. But it's so difficult. But the Lord would say, I understand. Only follow me. Don't worry. I have you. And there it is, it's back to us again. Here are the tools of the great counselor. Will you apply them in your everyday life? Are you going in circles? I know it's difficult, he says, but are you continuing to come to me for counsel? Are you going to do what I say? Are you going to practice my good counsel, what the Lord would say? And those were the top 10. And just for reference, I got this from firstcry.com under parenting. Now, there's a lot more. Some could do 5, some could do 10. I just chose these 10. But this is what the top 10 was. And we see that Psalms 43, he came to his senses and he thought about God again. And he said, I shouldn't be discouraged. It's a fight. Every day on this life can be a fight. It doesn't mean we can't have joy. It depends on what we decide to ponder on. We can choose good or bad. And when the battle comes, what are we going to do? Lord, why am I thinking this? Lord, I need to talk to someone. Lord, I never thought of these issues before. Why are they coming up? Are you trying to show me something? Are you bringing this out of me to make me deal with it? But I don't want to. Well, that's the problem. That's why you keep going in the desert and we don't grow. Remember Paul's letter. It's been 2 years. You should be mature. 2 years? Man, in America? No way. I need more time than that. I've known the Lord since my 20s. And this is how it's been. And he didn't want that. It's just I didn't take the good counsel he gave me. And I let my emotions overcome me. So where does this all lead? And you don't have to go here. It goes back to Genesis 3. And God said, what? Then he said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain. Remember the curse. This all goes back to the curse. And I want us to remember this. In your pregnancy and the pain you will have, give birth. And you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. Remember, we're in Genesis. And that happens in our lives today. Isaac, listen to me. If you love me, I am right. God told me, Jacob's the one. Why aren't you listening to me? Rebecca, I'm in charge. If you respect me as head of the family, I say it's Esau. Now, where did their communication break down there? Well, we see it even here. They loved each other. He's ruling over, and we go through that in ourselves. The woman will come to us, and a wife, if you have a wife, she may come and say, this is right. Well, wait a second. I read the Bible. I'm a Christian. The woman is the one who took of the fruit. I ain't listening to you. I know better. Well, do you know better? And then he said to the man, because the man's not left out on this, since you listen to your wife, is that what you want to do? Now, there are times we have to, right? And ate of the tree of which fruit of I commanded you not to eat. Guess what? The ground is cursed because you were for your sake. Your whole life is going to be a struggle now. And it's not always going to work out the way you want. You're going to plan. You think the business is going to go the way you want. And guess what? It's not going to work out because you got your ups and downs. People who you think you can trust are going to go against you. And all your life is going to be stress and sweat and sorrow. And you're still going to have to work. So here's the breakdown of communication and a family unit and the father and mother or the husband and wife. Here's what Isaac and Rebekah went through. Even though they loved each other, Isaac said, no, this is the way it's going to be. I want the firstborn because this is our tradition. This is the way it should be. I'm in charge. Rebekah saying, no, I know what's right. And what kind of communication did they have? What if they changed it? What if Rebekah went to him and said, honey, I just want to come to you and please try to understand and see you're letting down guard. Sometimes, of course, the number one thing in our communication, that's the issue. This is what the Lord told me. And I don't want to usurp your authority, but God wants Jacob. And I don't know why. I know he grabbed the heel and he grabbed and he went back in. Maybe he was supposed to be the first one. Please listen to me. I don't know. What if we're going to do wrong if we get Esau? Look at the way he is right now. I don't know. What did your father tell you? Didn't God tell him? How come you don't want to listen to me? But it's in a nice way. I don't know. The decision is yours. But please remember what the Lord told me. And I don't know why he came to me and told me this. He talked to you too. Shouldn't we go before God? Shouldn't we go to the well where we met him and he'll talk to us? Isn't that what we should do? Pray, fast, and see if it's the Lord. Now, here she is dropping down. She's using it. I call it, again, coercion in a loving way. But how many of us do that? And again, I'll lift my hand and say, no. Type A. No, I don't want to listen. I got it in my mind. And could Isaac probably have said, you know what, you're right. He drops his pride. There's that part of love and respect that a man and woman want that was broken in the garden. A woman wants love to be understood and heard, and a man wants respect to treat him in a way that he should be treated. But when the communication is broken, you're going to have a Isaac and Rebecca issue with your children, family, and everyone, and you're going to play favorites because the communication is bad. But that's what he said. So what if we were to look at all these things? And how many did you guys come up with? You don't have to say it. You look at your own and you ask the Lord, you work with that with Christ. See, that's the whole purpose of this when we're looking at the Bible. It's supposed to bring us transformation, open our eyes, understanding, and we're supposed to take what we learned and apply it. So we looked at 10 things if you come from a dysfunctional family, and I'm pretty sure we all have. You are a people pleaser. You are a type A personality. You are constantly guilty. You lack communication skills. That's a big one. Responsible towards others. That's the way you feel. You are hard on yourself. You have supreme levels of anxiety. You feel isolated and empty. You are frustrated. In the end, you feel anguish. Now, I gave you a scriptural reference to all of these. And see, that's the counsel, the Bible. But will we apply them? Will we think about this when we leave? Will we continue to practice these things? Because I said it was 20%, but it's more like 10% of whatever is said is remembered. And it's only the one that applies to us. So if you look at that, here's the application. Has God spoken to us? There's no doubt he's spoken to us at different levels. Some are working on that, passing maybe most of those. Some are just beginning. But the point is we have to try and practice righteousness. So whatever you wrote down, that is what you take before the Lord, with your family, whoever, with your wife, doesn't matter. Together as a family, by yourself, because you're never by yourself. Christ is with you. I just went through this. And you say, Lord, I just realized this about myself. Going back to my scripture, examine me, O Lord, and see if there's any unpleasing way in me. Now, it doesn't mean sin only. Am I doing something that you want me to stop or I don't even see? And lead me in the right path. See, it's the leading again. And transform me into your truth. But we have to apply this. Isaac and Rebecca didn't. And their children and onward pay the price. And whatever we sow, we are going to reap. And we're going to see that when it comes not only to Jacob, but we know also when it comes to Canaan. Not Canaan, I went far too back, with his brother. But we have to be aware of these things, and that's the beginning of healing. Practice them, look at them, and ask the Lord what he will show you day by day, little by little, moment by moment. It seems like a lot, but it's only one step at a time. Don't let this overwhelm you, type A person, one thing at a time. It's the Lord that leads you into his transforming image and gives you peace. And then what happens? You help others. So let's pray. And Father,